What I'm teaching on tonight is something that's not original to me. It's something that, I don't know, some people have a really negative view of ATI. But this is a biblical concept. But it's called the 10 Unchangeables. In fact, we've taught it over and over as a song as the kids have grown up over the years. And so we'll look at that. There's things to write in to add to, but not to fill in the blanks. So what these are is a study of God choosing things for you that you have no choice over. And when we understand these things, these 10 things that are not your choice to make, it helps to even life out. And it helps us to approach life correctly. The Institute of Basic Life Principles, and that's at the bottom of your notes so you know where I got this. I've expanded on it. I've never been in the class. Some of my kids were. But I've expanded on it because I believe this is a biblical concept, and it helps you rest in the sovereignty and choices of God that affect your life. And there's at least 10. They've categorized them this way. I've renamed some of them or expanded on the names and so on because I think there's more to some of these. But I want to go through these. I know it's kind of small. The extra lines are just to add additional thoughts that might fit underneath there. But let's just go through these. These are 10 areas of your life of which God gave you no choice over, in which you have no influence over. God determined these for you. And so, it's our responsibility to thank God for them and embrace them. Okay? And it doesn't make everything okay. As you'll get into it, you'll understand. It doesn't make any of these perfect. But it makes them what God chose for you. Alright? So again, there's 10 unchangeables. So that means there's how many, Bethany? 10. Okay. Alright. Pop quiz for Bethany tonight. And again, I've added information under some, but they obviously go together to a large degree. But let's just go through these. They're in the order that the song presents them. I'll give you a copy of the song in a little bit, the words of the song. Several of the older kids will know this song. I don't know that the younger kids will. But the first one is my physical features and capacities. If you will, the way my body is built and what I'm able to do with my body, okay? And I list some things here that relate to this, and some of them are just physical features. And others, again, are things that you can do with your body. Your nose, your mouth, your physical size, your complexion, your ears, your hair, by the way, and even every one of these has subcategories. I'll stop at hair just a minute and ears both. The Superboys growing up, my older brother and I, we always got a Butch growing up because it was just easy, right? But then it highlighted one of the other features that we had, and that's ears that stuck out. Now, mine aren't quite as bad as my older brother's, but when you cut my brother's hair off, all you see is his ears sticking out. So I'm saying how big your ears are. We even have discussions at our house before about whether your earlobes are attached or not and how big your earlobes are and all this kind of stuff. All of that and how close to the head there are. Every one of these has, you know, is my hair curly? Is it straight? Is it thin? Is it thick? All of that. Or I'm getting to the point, do I have hair or not, right? Your hands. Some people have real big hands. And some have real petite hands. Some people have long fingers. Some people have short fingers. you know, just different designs. And so every one of these has variables within that. Your eyes, your color, your size of your eyes, the characteristics of your eyes, scars. Scars usually means you've had an injury, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, it's just maybe a defacement on your skin. Feet. Joseph is a mini Kevin in a lot of ways by his characteristics of the way he even eats his food and all of that. When I was younger, I was much like him. But one of the features we have that relates to our feet and our legs is if you point our knees forward, our feet point out. There's probably a medical term for that. Okay, but when I point my knees straight, my left foot is about at a 45 and my right foot is, but you might say, well, who cares where your feet point? Well, let me tell you, it affects how you run. Instead of running like this, you're running like this. If you've ever seen us run, we run with the wing out, right? It's because our knees are crooked. So I didn't list knees, but I suppose you could, right? And we didn't have a choice about that. Skin color, or we should say skin shade, because we all have the same color. It's just how much melanin we have. Whether you tan or not, we've had that discussion in our home too. We have some people in our home that will burn but will not tan, right? And others, they're outside for a couple days and they look like an Indian, right? So even the how your skin responds, your chin, your face, your health, your general health. How about your handicaps? I've mentioned my knees already, but my knees have always been rather weak. Right? When I run or whatever, they would hurt. I swam for a year in ninth grade, and one of the strokes I swam was the breaststroke, and you swing your legs around, and my knees would hurt every time I would do that. Right? When I swam that way. So what we're talking about is, you know, handicaps, even glasses, or if you hear well or not. And we've known people, we used to have Les Secor, he moved to Altoona, goes to Altoona Church now, but he was born blind, right? And all of that. Bone structure. I've always had a small bone structure rather than a big bone structure. It used to be the joke that I could put my finger around my wrist. And some of my kids are just like me. You know, just a skinny bone structure. And other people have big, stout bone structures. And by the way, you don't have any choice over that. You didn't choose it either way. I've added to this capacities, because athletic ability. You can only be as good as you are capacity-wise. Whether it's running, and you know, I've illustrated with mine, but all kinds of things. You might have a weak back, and so your ability isn't there, or your muscles are formed in such a way to make you good at one thing but not another. How many remember who Michael Phelps is? How many gold medals did he win at the last? Like, 8, was it? Or was it even... Was it 10? 9? I don't know. It was a lot, right? It made Mark Spitz in the 70s look like a non-contender. But one of the things that I remember watching, and it was probably during the Olympics, but somebody did a show on Michael Phelps, and he's built perfectly for swimming, but he would be a lousy runner. You know, you're good at one thing but not another, maybe. Okay, so he can enhance this. We can enhance things. I can even wear glasses to make my eyes work better, but I can't do much, right? There, I can work out and gain some muscle and some capacity. I can probably even hire a trainer to help me shoot 2 baskets consistently in a row, playing basketball or something, but I will never be a professional basketball player. I don't think that's even within my capacity. It doesn't matter how much money I would expend or how many weights I lifted or how many laps I ran. Okay? And that, believe it or not, is designed by God. I didn't get to choose my body. All right? I was literally about skin and bones and a little bit of muscle all the way through the army. And that's just the way my body operated. It wasn't because of something I did. I was literally just skinny, as about as you can get and still stay alive in the army. And again, that was my metabolism there. And Jesus even addresses your height in Matthew 6. Remember, he was talking about worry, but if you worry, you're not going to add a cubit to your stature. You can't change your height. But God designed you the way He wanted you to be, believe it or not, with all of your defects. Now, that doesn't mean you can't offset some defects. I've been wearing glasses since I was in the fifth grade, right? Different things like that. But you can only do so much, and you have to understand, too, that God designed you the way you are. All right, here's some passages here. It's Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You have to understand that God designed you just the way you are for a reason. And it may be even with defects on purpose. Psalm 139, I only have the first part. I took it out so I could fit. This was all on two sheets, full 8.5 by 11 sheets. I shrunk it down. I'm proud of myself for that. But you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. And it goes on to say, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's several more verses there that the idea that God forms us. He designed you. You didn't have any say about your physical capacity and design at all. God designed that. Isaiah 44:24. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and He who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. God is our maker. He is our designer, and He's the one that determined what you would look like in every way, the capacity you'd have in every way. John 9, verses 1 through 3. Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. Just like Les Secor, right? In that way. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But why was he born blind? It gives you at the very end of the passage there. What does it say? But that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now this blind man was eventually healed. But understand that God allows people to be born with handicaps, with disabilities, or allows them to experience things that eventually handicap them or disable them in some way. Okay? Now, we understand in part that that's a curse of sin, but also it is a working of God. Romans 9, 20 and 21. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Are you catching this? God made you the way you are. Does not the potter have the power over the clay? Now, we may not fully understand why God made us the way we are, but we can rest in the fact that God knows what He's doing. He is the potter and we're the clay. One other passage that at least it addresses whether Paul had it at the beginning or he suffered something that incapacitated him later, but he had a malady that he prayed to God to remove. Some people, I lean more toward his eyes, that he couldn't see well. Others say maybe his hands were deformed or somehow maimed. You know, he got stoned and left for dead. That could probably do some serious permanent damage. Who knows, right? But God said, no, I'm not going to heal you or fix you. What was God's response? My grace is sufficient, and my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. So even in weakness, God says, no, you're exactly the way I need you to be able to use you, the way you can best be used for my glory. And that is not a high capacity idea. Okay? It's not hard to comprehend, all right? Number two, you cannot choose your parents and your ancestors. I add the ancestors idea as well, but let's start with the parents. You can't choose your parents. You didn't have any say about your parents. And guess what? Depending on who your parents are, we have different backgrounds as far as parents' spiritual condition. My dad grew up religious in a country Methodist church. His dad was religious, but probably more irreligious. Church was something you did, not something beyond that. But my dad did not get saved till after he was married to my mom. He used to smoke either two or three packs of cigarettes a day. And he got saved, and guess what? He raised his children in church. And he didn't send his kids to church. He brought them to church. And let me tell you, there's probably a little better as far as a heritage than that when your parents take you to church. And several of you have had that experience and ability, and that's something to praise God for, but some of you have not. But you can't choose that, right? You don't choose that. It's either true or not. What about parents' health problems? My dad died of Alzheimer's earlier this year. My mom died of Parkinson's. Now, whether or not that'll influence my body, I don't know. Alzheimer's is kind of a new phenomenon. Not that dementia is, but it wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is today. But that's an issue, right? And some people have, their whole family has diseases that are passed on or whatever, right? But you don't choose that. What about your economic level? I remember when I was in the Army, my section sergeant used to keep telling me that I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Now, maybe I was compared to other people in my communications platoon, but let me tell you, Dad had no money. My grandfather had made many poor business decisions and continually lost what he had gained by buying and selling farms. So when he died a pauper. Dad started from scratch. And I remember we would just pinch every penny growing up. Right? And that's a heritage. I think that's actually kind of a good thing. Maybe that's why I'm so adamant about people taking what they eat and all, because Dad was not a wasteful person. He taught me not to waste. Other people, they grow up and they're on what's the word I'm looking for? Government assistance. And that seems to go generationally as well, right? It gets passed on. Or some people are born, you know. Somebody has a dad that's named Bill Gates, and it's not any of us. Some people have a lot of money. And that may or may not be good. I am glad I wasn't born into some of these wealthy families that seem to just not care about what God thinks at all. I think I'm richer for it. But the economic levels, that makes a difference. And their successes and failures, right? I think my dad was kind of made by the failures of his father. All right? And that doesn't mean that anyone else whose father succeeded is a bad person. You know, it just, he had to work extra hard to make it work for him. But your parents and ancestors, even your ancestors, how they came most, well, I would say every one of us here are not of Indian descent primarily, American Indian descent. So that means your ancestors somehow came over here sooner or later, right? What caused them to come over? What was their condition or situation where they would abandon their home and come overseas to a strange place? And usually when they would come over, there would be little chance to communicate. Usually when you said goodbye early on, that was the last time you talked to all of your relatives on that side of the ocean. Right? So just the idea, I haven't done a lot of research on any other branch of the family but the Subras, but my great-great-great-grandfather came from France, and I don't know why yet, but he didn't come with any money of consequence. And he was a poor man, and a poor man physically. He had some kind of back injury that kept him from working very hard. He would work a whole day for a third of the pay of what everybody else made because he didn't have the physical capacity to do otherwise. There was no welfare. You worked as much as you could work, and he would make a dollar a day where the average man made $3 a day. Right? It really depends. So, and his son joined the Union Army, not to preserve the Union or to fight slavery, both of which I think were noble causes, but he joined the Army so that he could get his mom and dad a home. That's how poor they were. Right? It really depends on your ancestors and so on. So it's been a delight to kind of discover some of this myself. Kind of tells you who you are to some degree. You don't have to stay that way, whether it's a good story or a bad story. I've worked with a couple different people that were adopted out that are connected to our larger family, my wife and I's DNA. One gal never knew her mother. She knew who her mother was, but she was given away at birth to a friend of her mother. And the only other physical, biological sister, she found a half-sister. And I've helped her find her father's side of the family. But can you imagine growing up in that situation? I cannot. I got to grow up with the privilege of fighting with my brothers and sister. She has no one. No one that she can buy. She lost contact with this half-sister even. But I'm saying it's, and the parents, these parents, she was placed up for adoption because their parents were very immoral over and over again. And it's just a sad situation. But that's the potential, right? But you can't choose your parents or your ancestors. A lot of these things moving forward are dependent upon who you're related to. Okay? Number three, at least has something to do with your parents, potentially anyway, but my brothers and sisters. By the way, the blanks there are if you can think of other things that relate to your parents and ancestors that are subpoints there, right? Whatever they might be. For sake of time, I'm not polling you. The third one's brothers and sisters. You didn't get to choose your brothers or sisters. If you had any brothers or sisters, how many here are only children? Ed, are you an only child?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't imagine what it's like to be an only child. And my kids certainly cannot imagine what it's like to be an only child, right? I can't imagine having 14 siblings either on that side from a sibling standpoint. But your natural brothers and sisters, if you have any, you didn't get to choose them. God gave them to you. Your adopted brothers and sisters, or adopted parents, if it's like the gal I just mentioned about in the genealogy, helping her find her father's side of the family. We have two beautiful adopted daughters. And I describe their selection. They're both physically handicapped. Leanna may never walk. They don't expect Adeline to live to adulthood. Okay, because of the different issues they have. They've changed our lives. But I say in a nutshell, they came from the poorest province of China. Leanna was found by a river, right? 3 days old by a policeman. And grew for a year and a half in a Chinese orphanage, which those two words together is not a good combination. And it was even a Christian, semi-Christian funded orphanage or something, and it still wasn't good. A lot of lack. Adeline grew up in a different situation, 6 years old. But I use the phraseology that they won the love lottery by getting adopted by my oldest daughter and her husband and their five siblings, right, that they have. What all of the things that God would have had to arrange to make all of that work, just so they but not others, came over here. It's changed their life completely in so many different ways. The characteristics of each, if you have ever had more than one child, you know that there are no children that are the same. They have the same parents. But the kids can be so different. Even I knew that when I had two children. But I have no children that are the same. I have 15 children on earth. And none of them are the same. They have different characteristics. Some of them are love to read, and others only if I have to, right? Some of them seem to have an amazing capacity for music, and others, like, they don't even like to sing in church when no one's listening. There's characteristics. I've mentioned my younger boys, for some reason, somehow snuck in some DNA that had some athletic ability. It had to be from my wife, I think. But, they have capacity that I don't have, and they're different again. My other boys never really cared about sports, and Daniel can't not care about sports. It's just the way God wired him. Okay? So, again, different characteristics. Some are so mellow. My oldest daughter is... she inherited the stubbornness of my wife and I. And so even growing up, it would always be kind of a challenge. Not because she was bad, but she lived for justice. If she thought it was wrong, she would be right there to argue it. Hannah would be the one that you look at her and she would just burst into tears. Right? You didn't have to say anything and the fight's over. You know, there's nothing, no fight at all. Nathan was the quiet, devious one, where if you didn't hear anything, all of a sudden you're like, oh no, where's Nathan, right? It wasn't rambunctiousness, it was like quiet. I've told you stories about it before. And you can go on and on. Every child is different. Each one has likes and dislikes and all of that, all the way down the list. And I have 15 and I won't take the time, but I certainly could. Every child is different, and wonderfully so. right? And so, but that combination, even if adoptions are involved or whatever, is by God's design, right? I have a couple, I have actually five adopted cousins, one uncle and aunt adopted, two from the States and three from the Far East. But again, God would have had to arrange the exact child at the exact time to be able to be adopted, right? It's just phenomenal how that works. The attitudes of each, some of them are quiet, some of them aren't so quiet, right? Their health and abilities, well, we already talked about that. And even the relationship. I remember growing up, at different times I had closer or less close relationships to my siblings. I think partly we weren't as close. I think in part, and please don't take this as a slam or not, it's anecdotal on my part, observation, but I think the public school kept us from being close friends because you got your friends from someplace else. So we weren't ever super close, but I was always closer to my sister. I think we were a little more alike, and my two brothers were closer together. Now we're still fine, we get along fine and all that, but we're just, Jeff and Kurt were more athletic, and as I've shared before, I was not. So that probably changed it in part, but it depends on what your relationship is. Some of my kids, like Sammy, he's 26 years younger than his oldest sister, right? That's a huge, he doesn't know her like I know her. And he's never had that chance. My dad grew up in that way. He hardly knew his two older sisters because they were out of the house before he really knew what was going on. Of course, he got to know them later, but only as married ladies, right? And not as a sister kind of thing. So anyway, all of that, and that's part of God's design again. Let's go to the next one here. And again, these are very much connected because your physical features very much relate to your parents because it's a DNA issue. That's how God passes on things. And your brothers and sisters, if they're natural, are going to be a lot like you. But how about your ethnicity and your national heritage? I think when they taught this, they used the term race. And you know, I don't like to use that term because I believe there's only one race, and that's the human race. So the ethnicity is like your pocket of Noah's descendants, what you're descended from, what pocket of people you're descended from, right? Unique characteristics. It really depends where you're from. Even and remember when Noah and his sons spread out on the earth, people were pretty much stuck where they were at to some degree. They stick around for the most part. And so you marry amongst your own people, so there's characteristics that become dominant in different places. That's why people in Africa have darker skin, maybe in, you know, different shades, because they were marrying in that larger group. We're all human beings, we're all part of the same race, just a different ethnic pool that we draw from. No one's better or worse, but some people are tall, some people are short. I think, was it Australia that had pygmies? I mean, short people. And that was their characteristic, one of the things. You know, different, again, shade colors, hairstyles. Some places you go and their hair is always black. I know that Northern Italy, there was a group that were all blonde in Italy. It was just different characteristics of where people settle and all that. Their response to God. And when I mean ethnicity, that means like, what are you part of? Pastor Jim, what Douglas, is that Irish?
No, it's Welsh.
Welsh, okay.
It's English, Great Britain.
Okay.
Western European.
Yes. Okay. All right. East of here, but west of there. Okay. So I found out when I did the ancestry DNA stuff that I'm 11% Irish. I had no idea. I could have avoided so much pinching growing up on St. Patrick's Day. Never mind. But I had no idea, and I'm I can think of 17% Scandinavian or something. Never knew any of that kind of stuff. But listen, what if I was born in Africa? Would that have changed who I was and the capacities and all of that? Do you know that at a certain time in history, it was very likely that you would have been kidnapped and sold as a slave from Africa? And there was a good chance that you'd never see land again because many people died on the slave ships. Right? And guess what? They had no descendants oftentimes then, right? That was the end of them. What if you were born in Iran? Would you have a different access to things than if you were born in the United States? I mean, just think of a place that preaches the gospel or at least has that historic emphasis and then some place that's not. Right? Or if it's primarily, say, Catholicism like it is in Mexico, how much that has impacted and how it's been distorted and perverted. So like in the United States, I know there's a lot of corruption, but it's not like it is all around the world. Mexico is just steeped in corruption, and a lot of the South American countries. You were born both in your heritage, your ethnicity, and in your nationality. If you were born in the United States, you have no idea what kind of, I'm speaking in terms of chance, but it's not chance, it's God's design, but what kind of lottery you won. You are in the most blessed place on earth. The chance of you living to old age is extremely high. And living in a level of comfort and being well fed and well cared for till you die is extremely high. In most places in the world, in all of time, that's not been the case. I've told you before, in Vietnam, the average person in Vietnam lives off 100 pounds of rice a year that they grow. I'd probably die based upon my growing ability. Right? Totally different lifestyles and all. Two stories here. I've told you, maybe no one remembers stories now, it's been so long, but when I worked with Lynn years ago with a company, we had a remote office in a little town called Farmer City, Illinois. It's between Champaign and Bloomington, Illinois. And it's out in the middle of nowhere almost. It's like, I don't know, if there's 2,000 people there, that would probably be a high side. But there's a man there that runs a restaurant. His name's Emo. And I used to go see him every time. I don't know how many times I went there to Farmer City, Illinois, to work on their computers and stuff. Emo was from Albania. And he came over and he worked for 16 years before he could afford to bring his family over. He says, people over here have no idea what they have. He said, over there, there are no restaurants because no one could afford to go out to eat. And he said, if you don't like your job of digging in a ditch or whatever you can get there, there's 10 men behind you waiting to get that job. And he said, everyone that I know in Albania has family members all over the world working and sending money back because it's that poor. He says, over here, someone will get pregnant out of wedlock and they're fixed for life. They get free food, free housing, and all that. He said, over there, there's no such thing. And people don't complain because it doesn't help, and everybody else is in the same boat you are. 16 years. So capacity there, just from a heritage standpoint. Change gears again. In the Army, before Jane and I were married, I lived in the barracks with four other men in a three-man room. It was a little tight. I don't remember where Bart was from. He was the other, for lack of a better term, white guy. Pennsylvania or some crazy place like that. But the other three guys were black men. And I had no problem with it. I grew up and it didn't bother me then. And it didn't. My best friend in the Army was a black guy from Ohio that God has recently put me back in contact with via Facebook. There was no racial issues with me at all. But one of the roommates I had was from Jacksonville, Florida. And his first name was Billy. And he hated every white man on the face of the earth. I didn't hate him. But based upon his experience, even in the United States of America, where he grew up, in his neighborhood, and the experiences he had, that's the conclusion he drew. And I'm in no way even talking down about Billy. I'm just saying it matters where you grow up, and it matters what your ethnicity is. I get that at least to some degree, that if you're born in certain places around the world, including certain places in the United States, they view you differently if your skin is different than theirs. If anything, when I was in the Army, I felt just the opposite. I felt like I was being picked on because I had lighter skin. Okay? Yeah. But I kind of got a taste of it. But I understand. I was in a church, a good gospel preaching church in Georgia, and I would bring my friends from the Army so they could hear the gospel. One young man was from the Dominican Republic. I wish I could remember his name. A sharp guy. He was a black fellow from the Dominican Republic. And listen, from the pulpit, the pastor made it clear in no uncertain terms that black people should have their own church. And let me tell you, black people do have their own church because there's only one church. You understand? But I had no idea that kind of mentality. But that's what way he grew up. My pastor down there, that's the way he grew up. And let me tell you, it makes a difference where you grow up and who you grow up with and all of that. And I'm not blaming anyone. I didn't agree with my pastor. And I had to apologize to my friend. I tried to share the gospel with them anyway. But even then, that little Georgia town that Jane and I lived in, the black people lived on the other side of town. In old former slave quarters, I might add. Because the people, even as impoverished as the people, the white people were in that town, they thought they were better than the black people. Somehow, somebody told them that. Your ethnicity and national heritage make a difference. But understand, you don't get to choose that. Well, some people in the United States would claim to be Indians or blacks or whatever. That's a whole fiasco. But it doesn't change who you are. Notice at the bottom here, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men. One blood, right? Every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Do you realize that you're living where God wants you to live? He predetermined it. The United States of America or Bolivia or whatever. And let me tell you, not out of anything you did to deserve it or I did to deserve it, but we live in one of the best nations the best nation that's ever existed on the face of the earth today. Even though it's rapidly crumbling, it's still better than there has been anything that existed. Genesis 11 is just the Tower of Babel, so I'm not going to read that, but it's there for you, at least part of it. On the backside, Deuteronomy 32:8, when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the boundaries of the peoples. Isn't that interesting that God is involved in the borders of nations and the groups of people within those nations? Okay. By the way, that might tell you, is it legitimate to have a boundary? Of course it is, right? I'm just going to stop because I'm halfway done. And that's okay. I am going to hand out... let me cover one more, can I? No, I'll wait till next week. Because then I'll hand out... I need those handouts back. And I'll hand them out next week, okay? So... Because those go with... it's got the song on one side, but it's got another handout with regard to number 6. The 7 types of intelligence. Do you know there's at least 7 different types of intelligence? I'm going to tell you what they are next week, okay? All right. Let's... I just want to encourage you that God designs a lot of stuff for you and that you need to see God for who He is. As the designer of you. Of your body, yes. But even of your descendancy, your parents and ancestors, your brothers and sisters, and your ethnicity. I guess I've only covered 4, haven't I? That's okay. So next week we'll do the rest. But even where you're born makes a big difference. For most people who are born in China, they will never see what my 2 adopted granddaughters have experienced already. Right? It's just the amazing sovereign control of God. And what I'm saying is God is worthy to trust and rest in all of these areas. Does anyone have perfect physical features? I know of no one. Right? Even if they're built like a truck, there's other issues, and eventually they will have issues, right? No one's ever died of good health. Right? Your parents and ancestors, God, you don't have perfect ancestors, and I guarantee you don't have perfect parents. We could all probably write books about the things that growing up we would have done different if we were the parents until we became parents, right? At least to some degree. I remember some things I wish my dad would have done differently, but I think he was an outstanding dad. And my mom too, right? God gave me wonderful parents. Brothers and sisters, as much as we fought growing up, we didn't fight that much, but it made it sound like when we were little, we'd wrestle in the ground and stuff. But we get along well, and I can't imagine life without brothers and sisters, right? And then ethnicity. You didn't get to choose who you are ethnically or where you were born nationally. You can change your nation, but you can't change where you were born and all of that, which is just phenomenally miraculous, I think. And I'm so thankful that I've even shared, I'll share one more thing from number 1 here. Years ago, I used to share the testimony that I believe God gave me the body that He meant to give me. I am not athletic at all. I can throw a frisbee. I played soccer for a year in school. 10th grade, I think it was. 11th grade, I guess it was. In a small Christian school. And I swam for a year in 9th grade. I was the worst swimmer on the whole team. I did letter in soccer, but that's because we only had 11 guys. You can't not letter when there's only enough for a team, right? But I remember contemplating the idea of why God made me the way I was physically. And I've never been really dissatisfied. I kind of wish I could have done things physically and all of that, gone out for sports and all that. I just wasn't made for it. Even when I joined the Army, I went in to be a Ranger. And I didn't leave. I left for other reasons before I started my Ranger training. But I don't think I would have been able to handle it from my body perspective. I went through jump school and all of that. But I didn't go through Ranger school. I changed my mind before then. I was in love, but that's another story. But of someone that's here tonight. there's lots of things, but that was a major one. But I remember thinking when I became a pastor, contemplating why God gave me the body I have. Because I honestly believe, and I shared this before, in fact, I was listening to the sermons that I preached 10 and a half years ago. Very poor quality, but I still had the copies. I split this into two also then. But I said, if God would have given me an athletic body, I believe I would have probably denied God. Because I would have pursued athletics as my God. That's the way the nation was built growing up. At least everyone or all my friends were into athletics. And I was not. And I saw that for me, not everybody else, but for me, when I would do something, I would try to go all in. And I do that when I study. You wonder why I get here when I do. Jane taps me on the shoulder and says, do you realize it's 6:30? I've been working on this for hours. And I lost track of time. Right? That's just how I work. I just work. I always tell people, I never finish. I just run out of time. I'm not lying. Right? But if I would have been an athlete, me, the way God has wired me, I think I would not have walked with God the way I should have. But because God gave me a body that, believe it or not, hurts a lot all of the time. My back's really going bad and my shoulders hurt a lot. I can't even hardly sleep well at times and things like that. If I was an athlete, I would have turned away from God because I believe I would have made that my God. Just by the way I'm wired. Not anybody else, but the way Kevin's wired. But God made me so that I could do well with a poor body for what He wants me to do. And I thank God for that. Right? And I hope and pray that you understand that every one of these things you can thank God for. In the end, because God chose him for you and you don't choose him yourself. Okay? But I see the wisdom in God. I don't see everything. I certainly don't. But I see God's wisdom in how he gave me this body. And I have no qualms about my parents, my siblings, or my ethnicity or whatever. I just understand that I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm here to live for God with what He's given me. Right? And that's what your calling is to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've been able to cover tonight. I pray, Lord, that we would see and understand that there is so much that you plan for us. And Lord, ours is to see and understand and acknowledge and embrace that and understand that you will work through our weaknesses and our challenges and even the things that you've built for us that we're good at for your honor and glory, and help us to yield to that. Help us to be thankful for the bodies that you've given to us, whether they're athletic or the opposite, whether we're tall or short, or whether we're strong or weak, Lord. May we thank you for our parents, Lord, and our ancestors that went through so much to have us where we are today. And Lord, we certainly want to thank you if we have siblings, to thank you for our siblings. They're truly the ones that in many ways are most loyal to us. There's a family connection there. And Lord, we thank you too for our ethnicity. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us an understanding heart to understand how privileged we are. Even, Lord, to live in a place that at least seeks to treat people in an equal fashion to some degree based upon their ethnicity. And thank you, Lord, for letting us being born in a nation that has promoted you in so many ways and has a foundation, though crumbling now, but a foundation of truth and justice. Lord, we just praise you for that. Help us to respond to that with obedience and energetic desire to please you with all that we are because of all the blessing that we have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.